My guest today is Tim Huckabee. Tim, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Dave. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm enjoying Codepalooza. How about you?
What's the tagline?
What is the tagline?
The tagline is go crazy with development or coding like crazy or...
Those are both good taglines.
I can't believe I can't remember the tagline.
We're going to get that in the show notes. We're going to find out. We should give a shout out to Chad Green, who put this thing together.
He's nagging me for a couple of years to get my butt out here and do this.
He did a great keynote this morning.
Thank you. Appreciate that. It was totally fun. You know, easy audience, right? They're starved technologists.
They were excited.
Blend of mostly developers, but there were some designers in there and
there's a
bunch
manager.
Of PMs. Was one evil network guy in the crowd?
Was he really, truly an evil network guy?
No, I just like teasing him.
What was the keynote about?
Natural user interface,
okay.
NUI, as we call it, which is my passion and has been for the last many years. And then I did a little bit about engaging user experiences also.
Let's define that term, natural user interface.
Well, for me... as opposed to some other experts in the industry, for me, natural user interface is touching it, waving at it, or speaking to it. Ultimately, it's thinking at it also. It's haptic interfaces. It's making a natural experience to digital technologies.
Okay. And the natural comes from, we have this sort of metaphor that we've grown up with over the last, 25, 30 years, the mouse. Maybe not that long, but the mouse is I move something over here, and it changes something on the screen.
And which is not really a natural behavior.
Not
right?
Natural. We have to kind of extrapolate from
right,
this movement.
Right. But it is a norm of the way we use computers.
It seems natural
systems.
To us, I think, just because we grew up with it. I think that's probably why.
Yeah, most people are that are experts in NUI would make an affinity of natural to some type of physical human behavior. So
okay.
A virtual object. You know, if you start at the ultimate and work your way backwards, the holodeck on Star Trek,
right.
A completely synthetic environment, everything's virtual, holograms, but they, you know, in Star Trek, they can apply matter.
Yeah, they actually have mass.
Right.
You punch them,
they can apply mass.
They fly backwards.
They can apply mass to a virtual object. We can't do that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the Higgs boson particle in Switzerland, the God particle, I don't know if you've heard about that.
I've heard of it.
That's about as close as humans can get to that concept. Everything else we can pretty much do these days. Between 3D cameras, holographic technologies, you know, we can do a lot of this stuff. And that's the concepts. Because of the way hardware's moving, you know, typically hardware leads the innovation change, believe it or not.
Okay.
And then us software folks follow in and leverage the hardware. And, you know, we've had touch in our computer systems for a long time.
Right.
On the .NET stack, we've had a touch API since 2006, WPF.
I had an iPac. At one time.
A compact iPad.
Yeah.
It had its own stylus.
It had
remember
a,
that compact iPad?
Right.
I still have one in my credenza. Yeah, brilliant machine of its time.
Yep.
Slower than molasses. But yeah, it had a touch API. But the first real touch API, at least we should define real, but you know, the first predominant, prevalent, homogeneous interface was in WPF.
Okay.
In the launch of Windows Vista, ironically. And that was way back in 2006. So we've had this capability forever, but it's taken the hardware a long time to catch up. This is kind of backwards from what I just said. You know, and those folks at Apple got their Touch API in that beautiful iPad device, you know, a good 4 or 5 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And they really exploded the revolution because, you know, who would have thought you could use a browser with touch? And
right.
Safari on the iPad is brilliant. They did a brilliant job of it.
And they did a great job of getting people excited about it.
And making a norm by the way we use computers. So, like a 2-year-old, I just heard this story the other day. A 2-year-old walks up to an iPad in our neighborhood, and just starts using it.
Interesting.
Because the little kid had been watching his parents do it, and they see it on TV, and it's just everywhere. It's become a norm. So in the keynote, my argument is, ultimately, gesture. And then voice recognition are going to be norms just like touching is.
So why is this important? I mean, why do we as developers even care about what the next way of interacting with
computers? I don't think we have enough time to talk about all the reasons it's important.
How about some practical applications?
We can go to use cases, but the reasons it's important is because, like I told the audience today, you may not be doing it now, but you'll be doing it. I mean, even web-based applications, even HTML5 has a touch-based API, and you're starting to see public websites that render based on touch capability, that sniff for touch and render based on touch capability, big controls, you know, because when you use a mouse, you have that 3-pixel fidelity, so you can hit the little red X, mm-hmm. right? But with your fingers much bigger than the mouse pointer, right? So the controls have to be bigger. And we also see natural behaviors now that, you know, like we do at Internology, where you animate an object as it moves across the screen so you don't get fooled by how quickly it makes. That's the new thing, making things more natural. So why would developers do that? Because our users will start demanding it. Because our boss will start demanding it. Because the hardware will dictate it. Because the developer platforms will become easier and easier for this stuff.
What kind of tools are you using? What are you and your developers, what are they using to
We do a lot of WPF, if that's what you mean.
Yeah,
I mean, the tool is Visual Studio.
Are you a WPF or are you building Windows Store apps?
Yes and yes.
Both, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a number of Windows Store apps that have just come out. But WPF will make a peer engineer really happy. You know, it hasn't been popular until just recently for a number of reasons. But, you know, WPF makes Win32 programmers really happy because the surface of the API is enormous. Mm. Like in Silverlight, if you remember back to Silverlight, mm-hmm. you know, there was always one way to do something in Silverlight. So it had this elegance and simplicity. Okay. You know, you could do almost anything, and there's one way to. In WPF, there's like 10 ways to do everything because it can be overwhelming. They have a beautiful 3D API in WPF, just awesome,
okay.
right? So it's a powerful language, and then of course the concepts of XAML bleed over to the Windows 8 side. Right?
Yeah, that's where I actually didn't do much WPF, but since joining Microsoft, I've been doing a lot of XAML for
exactly
Windows 4 and for Windows 8.
Yeah. Yeah, and I genuinely enjoyed your session today.
I
learned
thank you
a
very
lot.
Much. I
the cross-platform thing. I learned a lot.
I might put that in my on my blog. That quote right there.
Feel free to.
So let's talk about some of the examples. You had some in your keynote. What's people are actually using natural? You know, actually, before we do that, we should talk about the Kinect because you're doing some cool stuff with the Kinect.
Yeah, I'm a Kinect for Windows MVP, believe it or not. And you know, there's a magical new device that we should talk about in this. Well, that's coming. We should talk about it in this interview. But just the current Kinect device that's been shipping for, 3 years?
Yeah.
Maybe 4 years. They've gone through 8 major versions of the SDK. The SDK is free. So anybody can create and build Kinect apps if they want. And you can shoot. You know, you can, if you're just building for test and playing around, you can unplug your Kinect from your Xbox, plug it into your PC, download the SDK, and be immediately effective. The guidance is there. There's tons of guidance. There's tons of tools to build Kinect-based apps. Carl Franklin, who you had on your show, has an awesome utility called Gesture Pack, where it allows you to record a gesture quickly, and it builds the actual XAML structure for that gesture, and then you can just plunk it into your code.
Very cool.
Yeah, so immediately connect to enable your code. Professional use cases? That we do.
Yeah.
There's a ton in retail. You know, the big brands are starting to spend again. We're supposedly coming out of that recession, so the big brands
So these are things that are in stores?
Yeah, yeah. The Cokes and the Pepsis and the Nikes are starting to spend money again, and they're all about engagement. And they're not targeting me and you, by the way. We have gray hair. They're targeting a younger segment.
Okay.
and frankly, let's be honest. You know, me, you, and Grandma Huckabee are not the demographic that they expect to come up and wave at an interface or speak to an interface.
Well, give me an example. How does this help Coke or Pepsi?
Well,
or
engagement is everything.
Okay.
Right? These folks spend a ton of money. Just look at Super Bowl ads.
Uh-huh.
These folks spend a ton of money getting eyeballs. And frankly, in digital advertising, it's called DOOH, digital out-of-home advertising.
Okay.
You know, we have an industry dominated by 50-year-old vendors that are backlit posters. Well, this digital native generation coming up, they don't see that anymore. They're oblivious to backlit posters.
It seems something with a little more pizzazz.
Engaged, right? The something with movement, either active or interactive, where you interact with it. So why would a teenager interact with a Coke by gesture? to get a coupon for a free Coke.
I see.
This
used to be a billboard, or used to be just a signage, and now it's a kiosk that they can interact with.
Essentially, yes. That's the concept, and you're going to see more and more of that. And we just did a pretty high-profile one for Nike engagement type app. But, we've spoke to those soda folks that I accidentally mentioned a couple seconds ago, too. That's an obvious use case. Retail, hospitality, hotels, stuff where engagement is important. Something where the consumer gets something back. Loyalty program, something like that.
Right.
But also in healthcare, it makes total sense for these 3D cameras.
I like your example
cameras.
With the operating room, the sterile environments.
Yeah. So I always say there's two people that are going to make a ton of money. The one that invents the battery technology, because we can't, our cell phones, we have to charge them every night.
The battery is the limiting right? technology, right?
Right. And the other guys, mm-hmm. iPhone. My family owns iPhones. I have a Windows phone, but if they talk on their phone, they get like 6 hours a day. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So. Right. Whoever invents that technology wins. The other winner is going to be the one that invents a sterile touchscreen that is inexpensive. They have them in healthcare now, but they're wildly expensive.
Oh, okay.
Right? And you're starting to see, maybe you're not, but I'm starting to see because I've studied the industry, municipalities doing anti-touchscreen legislation. Hmm. In public places, because these touchscreens, carry bacteria and germs.
Interesting.
Our friends up north are starting to do that. Citywide legislation against touchscreens.
Interesting.
So it would make total sense, if you can't do a touchscreen, it's illegal in a public place to be able to either speak to it or gesture at it.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Right, and I like that in the operating room.
The touchless operating.
Grabbing,
I love that.
Grabbing
app.
The X-rays without having to rescrub.
Exactly.
Just sort of wave
yeah, the
down.
Use case there is.
Not the X-rays you're looking for.
The use case there is, that typically when a doctor sees something that doesn't mesh up with he or she, what they expected to be looking at. I've got you open.
Yeah.
I'm operating on your heart. And I'm like, wait a minute. This guy's liver is a disaster because he's been drinking bourbon for 30 years. give me that chart. So someone has to run out of the room and get the charts or the x-rays. And that means they have to unsterilize, re-sterilize when they come in. And they essentially, I've got a mic in my hand, but they essentially hold the x-ray in front of the doctor's face.
Oh, I see.
Right? Because he can't touch it. Right? So it makes total sense for the doctor to just look up on the wall and go like this.
Right.
Right? Makes total sense.
I was sitting in your keynote and you brought up that example, and there were people around me that were like audibly struck by the kind of the oohs and ahs.
That's a great demo. Exactly. I love that demo. We call that TOR, touchless operating room. We have a retail version of that also. Uh-huh.
This is your product.
Yeah. I mean, there's some IP in there, the way we smooth the algorithm. Because a Kinect device is so good that it will track you like a mouse. So if you just make your hand the cursor, it will track like a mouse, which means, a little movement of 3 inches means it goes 4 feet across a large screen.
Oh, I see. So,
so it's really hard to use. So we use an avatar-based approach typically. Mm-hmm. And smooth everything down so it's easy to use. And that's what that TOR thing exemplifies. Yeah. Yeah.
What should we talk about that we haven't already? Anything?
What should we talk about?
Around the natural
Why we're here?
Natural user interfaces.
What should we talk about? I have some bold predictions about the way.
Perfect. I'd love to hear them.
Yeah. Well, remember, I'm wrong every once in a while. I predicted the death of the internet. I didn't know that Cisco would make a bad thing worse by inventing that 2550 router.
The one thing about putting this video online is that nobody will ever go back and call you on a bad prediction.
That's all right. Some of my bad predictions are epic. I have had a couple predictions that have come true, but I am predicting that. Gesture and voice recognition will become a prevalent way by which we use computer systems over the next few years. Just like touch, just all of a sudden touched it, boom.
Hmm.
I'm predicting because of a number of not just technological advancements, but some other advancements that you know, it's going to be just another way that these digital natives interact with systems. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
It makes sense. People will see it. They'll like it. One killer app will come out and just turn the tide, and now everybody will want it.
Yeah, well, if you look in retail and airports, you're starting to see it. I mean, even in LAX, my home airport, I saw a gesture-based thing. It wasn't implemented that well, but it was there. In the hotels in Las Vegas, you see gestures. All the screen manufacturers are now including 3D cameras. The facial recognition stuff, the demographic recognition stuff we do, it's very powerful information.
Oh, yeah.
Get that soda manufacturer I talked about, you know, that so desperately wants that digital native demographic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we're gesturing at cameras and manipulating the interface, but the camera's looking at us too. Right? So we can quite easily, and we do this right now, we could quite easily do the race, gender, what's the third one? Ray, what's
age,
the third one?
Maybe?
Thank you. Age, race, gender.
Okay.
Right? That's the three that they care about.
Okay.
Right? That those soda manufacturers.
Just from looking at somebody's face, they could guess at that.
Well, here's,
guess wrong at you and
here's
me
the use case.
They don't
I walk
that we're
into.
Older than we look.
Edit. Here's the use case. I walk into a 7-Eleven, right? And our system's running right in a clear HD screen in the cooler. Right, and it's showing an ad. Well, it sees the over 50 coming up, 20 pounds overweight, gives him the Diet Pepsi ad. Right?
Oh my gosh.
Right? But my son walks up, my 18-year-old, boom, we got him. That's the one we want. That's the one we care about.
Right.
So it gives him the regular Pepsi or regular Coke ad, and it gives him a snowboarding or some hoodlums with crazy clothes on and that crazy music, electronic music they listen to. And it gives him some type of contest. Like he screams out, Coke, in the midst of everybody. Because these young people, they don't care, right? And because he screams that, he gets a free Coke.
I would scream it for a free Coke.
No, you wouldn't. You're not the demographic. You would not. That's my point. You wouldn't get the opportunity to do that because they don't care about you, Dave.
Coke,
and
if you're listening.
They don't care about me.
I'm
yeah, they,
for
they
sale.
Do. They do care about us. Just not as much as the teenagers.
You have an online presence, don't you?
You mean that social media thing?
Where can people find out more about Tim Huckabee?
Oh, God. You know, I've been in this business so long. A simple internet search will find me. But yeah,
but
I have
a
Twitter
though,
account. I have a blog.
What's your blog? Oh, give it to me and I'll put it on the screen. I'll put it right here across the bottom of the screen.
Okay. It's like team.internology.com/blog/Tim Huckabee, something like that. Yeah. Yeah, and Facebook, and I'm not very good at the Facebook thing, but I have that also. LinkedIn, yeah.
Tim, thanks a lot.
Oh, my pleasure, Dave. Absolutely. If you're in Louisville, you can have friends, you can have technology, or you can have bourbon. Friends, technology, and Nui. Live it, learn it, be it.